Chofei Kislev, Thursday the 29th of November, Rabbi Zecharia Sprung, Jewish Unity and the Eternal Hanukkah.
As a point of departure, so far as the theme of Jewish Unity is concerned, we should like to introduce Rav Shach and Avi Ezri, who asked the question that I would imagine people should have asked before him, al kaponim. At any rate, when we do learn this Rambam, or we're involved in tshuva, on a personal level, I'm sure that the question occurs. The Rambam says when a person decides to repent, to do tshuva, so he's mechuyev in confession, in vidui. And what is the nusach of vidui? The Rambam says, Ono Hashem, chotosi yavisi pashati lefanecho, vasisi kach vekach, boishti, nechlamti, v'nichamti, v'eini choyzeh ledvogem elu liyoylov. So, of course, we all know what the Mishnah in Yuma says, that the word chet, chatoyis, is shegigin. It was inadvertent mistake, and that led to a chet. Avoinois, the word avoin, means a transgression that was committed willfully, mezidus. And, of course, the word pashati, shoyim, that's meridais, rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rav Shach asked the simple question, why in the Nusach of Vidui does a person say that he committed this Avera, b'shoigeg, b'mezid, and there was a rebellion? Very difficult to understand. He brings down the Minchas Chinuch, that the Minchas Chinuch said that if a person was sure of himself, he was absolutely confident that he committed an Avera, b'shoigeg, so the Nusach of his Vidui is only Chotosi. However, difficult to accept that. We'll soon see the proof of Davi Ezri. Of course, we can't say that we're dealing with somebody that had difficulty making up his mind. There was once a person that they asked him, do you have the difficulty in deciding matters and making up your mind? So he answered, I'll tell you the truth, yes and no. We're not dealing with such a person, obviously. So it's very, very difficult. Rav Shach brings down that the Rambam says in Hilchas, Maisa Karbonis, that the Nusach of Vidui, for somebody who is chayiv to bring a chatos al chet shebishoigeg, is chotosi ovisi pashati. Neged the Minchas Chinuch. Difficult to understand the Minchas Chinuch. The Rambam says that if a person committed an Avera b'shegeg, he brings a chatos, so the Nusach Avidu that he is mandated, and it's incumbent upon him to say, is chotosi ovisi pashati. I committed the Avera b'shegeg, b'mezid, and I also committed the Avera with the element of Merida against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rav Shach concludes with this yisod of his, that is the Nusach of Vidui. He has an explanation, we'll soon see. However, he was unsuccessful in trying to bring a source for this yisod that he attributes and ascribes to the Rambam. Before we go weiter, before we continue, I believe that the source for the Rambam is a very, very, very simple source that has to do to the parshias that we're dealing with. Mechiras Yosef. The Ramban and the Chazal already said, after Mechiras Yosef, we have a very, very strange phenomenon that the Torah describes. Vayeshvu vayoichal lechem. What's the purpose of the Torah describing what they did afterwards? I'm sure that they davened, they put on tefillin. What was so unusual about the fact that Vayeshvu vayoichal lechem? So the Ramban says, very, very rarely, and also the Chazal say it, it's very rare that we have Dayonim, that they pass in a question, Aliba Demis. Right? Dayonim Emes is Bechlal difficult to find. Vayasi Yerushalayim, there's an expression that if you want to find a Dayon Emes, there's only one place to find him. Where is that? In Siddur. But if Dayon Emes, no other place. Right? So they were Zoicha to Paskin a Din Torah Aliba Demes. Unbelievable. They had a Din Roidef. And they proved that Yosef was a roidef, and Yosef deserves this punishment. And they were mitzarev d'shchina. Part of the tribunal was HaKadosh Baruch Hu themselves. So there can be no better seal of approval that they're right insofar as Dinei Torah is concerned than having mitzarev d'shchina. So what do you do if you're zoicha on a rare occasion to paskin a din Torah, aliba d'emes? So you celebrate, make a sudas mitzvah, Baruch Hashem, it happens. But then unfortunately for the Achim of Yosef, we see that the Hashkocha did not go along a straight line. It was a zigzag line. Unusual things happened. And the first phenomena that was unusual that happened, so we see that Reuven said, Loisechtu Bayola, did I not tell you to not sin insofar as the child is concerned? So the lashon that's used is chet. What happened was after a little bit of introspection, of course they needed some sort of stimuli in order to have this self-introspection. Things were not going according to a plan. Unusual things happened, so they perhaps underwent a brutal self-criticism, self-castigation, and they came up with the some sort of answer that was maybe due to Mechiras Yosef. Could be there was an element of shaking. There was a mistake. Afterwards, things deteriorated even worse. And they all said, Elikim Motza es Avoin Avodecho. What was the Avoin Avodecho? All the Mefarshim say Mechiras Yosef. What's the expression that's used, Avoin? So there was an element and there was an aspect of Mezidus. We'll explain that, Bezis Hashem Yisbarach. Right? Well, that's a very, very good question. We'll explain it, hopefully. I don't know whether we'll be able to do it during the shiur today, but that's a very good question. Afterwards, at the end of Parshas Vayechi, after Yaakov Avinu is no longer with them, so they say, Sono es pesha avodecho, please forgive. So Rav Shach Bemis explains that a person is very complex, very compound. We don't understand ourselves too well. Of course, one thing we do know, that Einodim Roi Negei Atzmai, a person always holds of himself, he's not too critical of himself, self-condemnation, self-castigation is quite unusual, so even if something does go wrong, and a person through self-introspection came up with the idea that maybe there was something wrong what he did. So there was an element and an aspect of Shegeg, but if he continues to delve into the Pnimius HaNefesh and his consciousness, he tries to understand himself a little bit more, so he'll see that there's also an element of Mesidus. And if he continues in a brutal self-introspection, so he'll come up with the idea there was also an element of Pshia. So element of Merida against the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this could be the source for the Rambam, and we have a good question, and we'll try to explain it. The truth of the matter is that insofar as Jewish unity is concerned, and specifically insofar as the chet of Mechiras Yosef is concerned, if we were to define exactly what was the chet, what was the exact chet of Mechiras Yosef? So there's only one answer. Of course, it had nothing to do with jealousy. We're not speaking about people that we can understand. We're not even the dirt under the shoes of such great people. It's only insofar as what we can derive from our own personal education and edification. Basically, they fail to understand one of the most beautiful gifts the Kaviyochel bestowed upon humanity. Not only insofar as a family is concerned, that the element of togetherness is such a beautiful treasure, but ipso facto, by mere extrapolation, also insofar as Klal Yisrael is concerned, we're all one family. Kulam, all of us, Yesh Avzokeh, we have an old father, the Zayar says, who's the Avzokeh? That's the Atik HaYoimim, that's the Rebbeinu Shloim, Oilom Varoilom, Kinara Yisim V'gam Zokanti, referring to the Rebbeinu Shloim. We all have an old father, that he has certain values, that he wanted we should continue with those values. And Kaviyochel gave us a beautiful treasure. And that treasure of devotion, dedication, unqualified devotion, dedication, love between human beings is the most beautiful of all treasures. Yosef also, the Mido Misuyemes, Daka Menadaka, failed to appreciate the most beautiful gift of having Shiftei Ko, Sheves Achim Kam Yochad, and Mechiras Yosef resulted from that lack of awareness of the beautiful treasure that was within their reach. And we all know the Yesod HaDvarim brought down in all the Svarim that Kadosh Baruch Hu hates ingrates. Somebody that's not grateful for a treasure which Kadosh Baruch Hu bestowed, so it's taken away from them. So that's why after Mechiras Yosef there was a big payroll, there was a split. That split, unfortunately, to this day, I suppose, the name of the Shir, I made a mistake. The name of the Shir should have been The Secret of Jewish Unity. And we should have started by saying that the secret of Jewish unity to this day remains a big secret. We don't know exactly how to achieve it. but that split, unfortunately, is with us to this day. That's, unfortunately, the way it started. But the truth of the matter is that there is a takana. Of course, intellectually, emotionally, we should appreciate the element of togetherness, how beautiful it is to have devotion and love among brothers. But if we were to start from the beginning of the Torah, so we see from the very beginning of the Torah, we see very, very interesting things. Soon as everybody would read, let's say somebody was able, right, of course it's difficult to undertake such a mission, but let's say somebody would pretend he doesn't know anything. He starts learning Sefer Bereishis, so all of a sudden he's overcome with a beautiful, optimistic feeling. God created the world, beautiful. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to interpersonal family relationships, so what do we see? Kind of have very, very strange. The question that bothers everyone, the only one that I saw that asked the question was the Rikanti Alatayra, he's a Talmud of the Rajbo. Why could Kayin not bring a regular carbon? The Ramban says that Kayin uncovered the biggest secret of all carbonis, Lashon Hiskarvus. A person has existential need to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to, of course, a person can eclipse the fact that he exists as a very limited person, and perhaps he's not needy, he's not helpless. A person can always live in illusions and delusions, but a person lives in reality, so there's an inner need which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in a person to feel close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Carbons, Lashon Hiskarvus. Who uncovered that secret? Lehedio, black on white, the Torah tells us, it was Kayin. Hevel was a follower. Gam Hevel Hevi. Ramban points out he was a follower. He was not the leader. The number one person of that generation, insofar as Torah was concerned, was Kayin. So why could Kayin not bring a regular carbon Lashem? So the Rikanti said, there was a vikuach, there was a dispute between Kayin and Hevel, and it was a longdeshe brisker machloikes. Why? So the Rikanti says, we all know from the Parshas Noach that even though Kadosh Baruch Hu granted complete dominion to Adam HaRishon and his children, complete dominion, sovereignty over Balei Chayim, they could work with them, they could use them for loading and for transportation, but to take a knife and to shech the Balei Chayim to eat, that was forbidden. The first one that had that permission was Noach. Like the Ramban explains, because he was metapel, he dealt, and he had to suffer from the animals on the table. So therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him that you are allowed to consume balei chayim. Ke'esav yerech asoda nosati l'cho. Just like Esav asoda. So, Kayin held that just like it's forbidden to shech the behemoth in order to have a personal satisfaction, it's tzerech haguf, lashon of the Rikanti. Likewise, it's usur to shech the behemoth, even though it's a tikkun nefesh. It's an existential experience of bringing you closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? The Rikanti doesn't say. But we would say, today we live Baruch Hashem, after we have already all the yesodos of the brisker rav and the chayim, so they say numerous times that every carbon has to be min hamutar b'ficha. If you can't eat it, right, so you can't bring it, it's a carbon too, so it could be that Kayin was the source of brisk. Hevel was a regular yeshivish. He thought in svara, not longdish. He said very balabatish. He said, what could possibly be the prohibition against shechting a behemoth in order to have personal consumption? It could be we didn't do enough insofar as working with the behemoths. Maybe we don't deserve that schus. So therefore, that's only insofar as personal consumption is concerned. Sarech aguf. How can somebody think for a tzorech, neshama, to have an aliyah, to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would forbid such a zach. So therefore, he shechted a carbon tzoyin v'chelbeim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, what turned out was nisbarel that Hevel, who was not the bechor, who was not number one, was right. He understood Dvar Hashem better. He was mechavein aliba de emes. Amita shel teva. So what should Kayin have reacted? So the Rikanti doesn't say anymore. Said he was mechamtem bichater. So we once saw in the Tikkuni HaZayar that Kayin is miloshin keino, and the Zayar and the Tikkuni HaZayar contingent is keino de misavasa. Misavasa means tumen. What should have been his reaction? I learned something very important from my brother. Okay, I'm the Bechor. But insofar as a very important area of life is concerned, understanding the Ratzon Hashem, the will of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he stands higher for me. So you know what? He'll be my Rebbe. He'll be the Rishon Bedar. And I'll be the Sheni Bedar. Not so bad to be the Sheni Bedar. I would wish it upon myself. I wouldn't mind being Shlishi or being much lower than that. But the Zohar says, Keina de Misavasa. He can't stand, he cannot tolerate feeling that he's number two. He has to be number one. So what happened? It expressed itself in a murder of a brother. If we analyze the Rikanti together with the Kunei HaZohar, so we came up with a very, very unusual explanation over here. It's very unusual. We don't understand it. What's your point of departure? It's usur to kill a Baal Chai. Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to kill a Baal Chai, Tzar Baalei Chayim, for personal consumption, and it's also forbidden, perhaps, loy plug rachmona, min amuta beficho, not to kill a Baal Chai, even for a carbon Hashem. That was the point of departure, huh? So what happened afterwards? Not only did you kill a Baal Chai, you killed somebody who was Nivra B'Tzelem Elikim. Not only was he Nivra B'Tzelem Elikim, he's a brother. And not only he's a brother, he's half a world. Millions of people you killed. Like the Rambam says, the only Aveira that constantly repeats itself, there's only one Aveira that repeats itself, is Ritzicha, because every generation, right, Kodesh Baruch Hu adjudicates it. Again, what would have been had he not been killed? Could have been married, would have children. So the result of Ritzicha is something which is eternal. That's what the Rambam says in Ritzicha. Unbelievable. I must say, I spoke to a friend of mine yesterday who was on the phone with Lord Sachs. Right? And, of course, we all know that Lord Sachs is a good man, he's a good lord. And I just mentioned to him that, in my opinion, my son just came back from Berlin. He's involved in the European rabbinate. I don't know exactly how, but in this day and age, you don't ask any questions. And I, Bechlal, don't ask any questions. I come from Jerusalem. I, Bechlal, don't ask any questions to my children, because I understand, like I spoke a moment ago, with someone that we have to live within the context of the way we live. As Rabbi Ullman knows, that we once answered the question of the Shachar LaTorah, that the Shach says anytime it says Leman in the Torah, so it's a Mido Keneged Mido. And the Shachar LaTorah ask the questions, it's Kabir Savikh Yasimecha, Laman, Yarich Yamecha, Laman Yitav, Lov, there there's no Mida Keneged Mida. I respect my parents, I give them food, so therefore I get Arichas Yomim. So he's Nitcha. But we are people that are practical people. I come from a very, very difficult background, and I learned you have to be practical in life, otherwise you can't survive. So therefore, after Shabsai Frankel answered numerous questions on the Rambam, making a Tikkun Sefer instead of Potter, Osir, Chayiv, Zakai, so he allowed us just to change some words in order to answer questions. So all we have to do now is change the fifth commandment of the Torah and say, Kaved es bincho v'es bitecho. Mido keneged mido. Leman yarichon yamecho. Not only have arichos yamo, leman yitavloch. So I don't ask any questions. But he did tell me that they honored Chancellor Merkel in a very, very special way. I believe that the Jewish press and also the big intellectuals missed a very, very important point a year and a half ago. So she did something courageous. Mama, she was zeicha to real, I wish I had her chaylek, when the judge forbade bris milo in Germany, Tsar Hayanuka, Tsar Baalei Chayim. So she got up in the parliament on that same day, clapping the bimah, and she said that she is negating this law because by sheer association it reminds her, these are the words that she used, of the Third Reich and Hitler, Yimach Shemoy V'Zichroy, that how did he start the whole anti-Semitic movement? By saying that the Jews are brutal people, they shecht behemoth with a knife, Tsar Baalei Chayim. What was the result of this Tsar Baalei Chayim? 20 million people were killed by Hitler. So she's not going to allow such a thing. She's negating it because she knows that the results of neo-Nazism could lead to another genocide. And the Jewish press missed it. After a few people picked it up, so everybody became followers and they picked it up too. That's the Yesod HaDvarim. Now, if you see somebody who was a Yafei Nefesh, you have to be very, very careful. Anyway, as we proceed, insofar as brotherly love is concerned in the Torah, right? Brotherly love is a very, very important value, as we mentioned a moment ago. So the next set of brothers was Yankif and Esav. We don't have too much time. So we see that unfortunately Esav held himself to be the Bechor. Yankif, as it were, became the Rishon Bedar because he was like to the Brochus. He's going to be the chosen people. Esav was extremely jealous. And Esav says, Yikri me'echot evil ovi, v'harga es Yankif ochi. Now, if we would ask ourselves a question, who was his Rebbe for that? Who taught him to do that? Kayin. Kayin was right. If somebody usurps your preeminent position, there's only one action that you have to do, murder. Unfortunately, or fortunately, for us, so he was not able to do it. So we see that somehow or other, the brotherhood of the Jewish people, as far as historical origin is concerned, was not too successful. Okay. Mechiras Yosef, we spoke about before. So all of Sefer Bereishis is pretty pessimistic till we come to the end. Rezus Hashem Yisbarach, I hope we'll get there. But there is an interlude, a very important interlude. And this interlude, somehow or other, is something which should stay with us for a very long time, because the Yisoid HaDvarim is something which today we do we don't understand it, but we're totally oblivious to it. Unfortunately, I use that word too much, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik, Kodesh Levracha, put out tremendous sichos musa. There's nobody like him. Friday night, right, Mir Yeshiva didn't have Kabbalah Shabbos, such thing as Kabbalah Shabbos. So at 10-15 minutes before Ma'ariv, so a few Bachrim used to go to his dira downstairs in the dormitory, and he would say a few veritor on the Torah. This was never printed. I was there 41 years ago, and he said something which went into my bones. I never forgot it, and they should have printed it. Maybe it's not too late. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said, today I'm involved a little bit in Bezdin, so I appreciate it more. So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz said that he doesn't know of any person that had what they call a Taina Nitzachas, a winning argument, any debate. Theoretically, there was only one person that he knows that had a Taina 1,000%. Irrefutable. Incontrovertible. And that was, of course, Rochel Imenu. Hama'at kachter. Es ishi v'gam lo kachas d'doi b'ni. What a chutzpah. You first took away my husband, and now you want to take away d'doi b'ni? D'doi of my son Reuven? So Rochel rationalizes. And what is rationalizing? Leo. No, Rochel rationalizes, and what does she say to Leo? I don't want to take it gratuitously. I'll give you a reward. Ato Yishkav. That Rochel had a taina that no one ever had before in a bezdin or any dispute. I took away your husband. I gave you a husband. Had I not been mishtatev with all the tricks, the dirty tricks of Lavan, right? Vayhi baboike. So Chazal say, why baboike? Yankov knew that it was Leo, because she was Takas Amito and she was speaking. We don't understand these things. Some of the descriptions of the Chazal, what happened that night, is beyond us. But we see that she went all the way in order to make sure that her sister is not humiliated, not embarrassed in the slightest. And what did she do? So Rachel Imenu went together with this conspiracy of Lavan in order to make sure that Leah, without me, you would have absolutely no connection to Yankov. How dare you throw such abusive words to me? Hamat kachtech es ishi. I took away your husband, I gave you a husband. In addition to that, the Ramban already says, right, that he changed his mind, Yodua, well, Mefursan, the Ramban says that he was in Eretz Yisrael, Zachisi, to be in Eretz Yisrael, and he went to Kivras Haaretz, and he saw that Rochel was buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why was it so important to say that? Because the Ramban previously already said that if things would have gone according to the natural way, the natural order of events, so the Ramban already said, other Rishonim said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only makpid on Isurei Torah in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Shtei Achoyos is mutter in Chutz Laaretz, but in Eretz Yisrael it's forbidden. Now the Ramban says that Rochel was buried after the boundary of Eretz Yisrael, but basically she's buried in Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, had things been natural, so therefore who would have been the Pnuya? Yankee would have married Rachel. She would have been the Pnuya. And therefore, Leah would have been the Neseres. Shtei Achoyos is Bekores. So therefore, when Yankee would have come back with his two wives, so Leah would be the one that would have to be Nistalik min Oilom, because Shtei Achoyos is Bekores. So therefore, so Rachel gave away half of her life to her sister in order to prevent her humiliation. And what does Leah respond? Hamad kachtech es ishi. Unbelievable. So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt said that this was the only time he could imagine that somebody has a taina nitzachas, a winning argument above and beyond, incontrovertible. And yet we see, strangely enough, that Rachel rationalizes, doesn't say what she theoretically could say, and she says, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean it." But you could have number two, which all the Mefarshim says, two psukim afterwards, says Vayitzker Likim. Now Yisker and Likim es Rachel. Rashi says, "Shem the Chazal, Shemos Res Asimonim." Now a Kaddish Baruch Hu remembers. Mesiris Asimonim was many, many years ago. Yisker and Likim es Rachel, Shemos Res Asimonim, and therefore she's zoicha to have a son. Wow, strange. Many, many, many years went by. So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt said a Yisoid. And Reb Chaim said, from the fact that Rachel did not taina, a simple taina, was the fact that she felt she didn't do anything for her sister. What could she have said? I gave you a husband. I gave you nothing. You didn't take anything. I gave you nothing. She never felt that she even deserves any gratitude for what she did, because she felt she never did anything that is mechayev, that deserves that somebody should give her gratitude. It was so natural that she didn't feel there was something unusual that Oysa Chesed, like you have sometimes today, Oyla Matego. You go to a Mashgiach, a Bacher comes in. No, came to my house. Here's a glass. Chesed. Some water. Nochamol Chesed. Drink. Oh, Asisi Chesed. It was so natural, nothing contrived there, that the reason she did not say anything, because she didn't feel that she did anything. So Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt said, "Vayisker likim es Rachel shemosva simonel." It's not an event of the past; it's an event of the present. Now was the true, real mesiras asimon. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that she didn't even feel she did anything to save the humiliation of her sister, this was the mesiras asimon. Now, b'loshen shel Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitt, ich deri gewende richtige mesiras asimonim, and therefore now she was able to have a son. Yaakov Avinu is apologetic to Yosef. I know that you don't like me, Yosef, right? I asked you to matriarch yourself to take me to bury in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't bury your mother there. But the reason was Al Pi HaDibur, because Yaakov Avinu already knew, the Ruach HaKodesh, that there's going to be a big churban, and the only one who will be able to daven and have her tefillahs accepted was Rachel Imenu. So therefore, like it says, "Mini koyach mi bechi, v'naich mi dimo, yisoch el fulosech, nu mashem v'shavu bonim gvulam." Only Rachel could be mashpia, could influence the Kodesh Baruch Hu's decision to save the Jewish people from a bitter demise. So the question naturally arises, what's the reason for that? Because of Mesiras HaSimonim. She said openly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "I brought a Netzar into my house," right? The rachamim of who is greater. Compassion and kindness is Kodesh Baruch Hu is greater, and mine is greater. So Menashe brought a tzelem into the house. Big deal. So it's something very strange. Everyone asks the question. If we ask ourselves, what's more outstanding? Akedah, Yitzias Mitzrayim, which was implemented through Moshe Rabbeinu, or let's say Matan Torah, these are things that were indispensable for the kiyum of Klal Yisrael. Mesiras HaSimonim, we could have gotten by. It's something which was unnecessary. So how is it that a Kodesh Baruch Hu rejects Avram, Yitzchak, Yankiv, Moshe, Aaron? Only one request that was made by Rachel Imenu, because she was Mosra Simonel, Kodesh Baruch Hu accepts. The answer is a simple answer. Because a Kodesh Baruch Hu never judges any action, any mission that a person by a Kodesh Baruch Hashkochim was placed in that situation, that he has to implement a mission, any shlichus, by the contribution it makes to the kiyum of Am Yisrael. It's not measured with a barometer of achievements insofar as creating a great nation is concerned. Kadosh Baruch Hu has his own ways. There's only one barometer which HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses, and that is the barometer of how much a person does the action b'shleimus. He does it b'charada, with fear of God forbid something should go wrong. He does it with love and dedication and devotion, with mesiras haguf and mesiras hanefesh, with total self-sacrifice. Even if Rachel Dimenu thought that she would never marry Yankiv, she's willing to sacrifice her place in Jewish history in order not to embarrass her sister. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses as a barometer. How much a person has pnimius hanefesh, how much a person dedicates himself to do a simple pu'ula. And of course, it sounds very strange. But if we analyze it, so we see that we're totally wrong in our hashkafa. We think that who can do great things for Klal Yisrael? Oh, great people, right, through what? Through Torah, mitzvahs. And not only do they have to do Torah, mitzvahs, more than that, it has to be constant, consistent, with tmidus, somebody who learns day and night. Unbelievable what he contributes to Klal Yisrael. He's meiser himself, dedicated himself to learning Torah for an entire lifetime, and probably he will achieve great things for Klal Yisrael. Absolutely wrong. We see from Rachel Imenu that she was the one, through a one timely action of having compassion for her sister, in order, God forbid, that she should not be embarrassed, should not be humiliated. It was a one-timely action. Of course, if a woman is compassionate for another woman, a sister is compassionate for another sister, it's very nice, it's very distinguished, no question about it. But not that she is great things for Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu rejected everybody. The only one he accepted was Rachel Imenu's petition, and she was the one that made a transition, insofar as Jewish history is concerned, from Churban to Binyan, from Golus to Shivas Tzion. And it is for that reason that, why is this important for us to know? It's important for us to, Atkan Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. I added a few things, but basically, it's what he said. Why is this important for us to know? Very simple, because the Gemara says in Sayyid Baba Basra, a very, very important yesod, that Yosid Lavoy, B'nei Esav, Eino Noifin Elo, B'nei Bonov, Shel Rachel. And it doesn't say Bonim Shel Rachel. It says B'nei Bonim Shel Rachel. Of course, it means the children, the descendants. But with a little poetical license, we should like to just point out why it says B'nei Bonim, poetically. Right? We shall finish in one moment. Right? In just one second. Right? Anyway, why it says B'nei Bonim. And we also have to realize one more thing. Right? That why Esav with B'nei Rachel? So we'll just say we have a few more moments. We don't have a few more moments, okay? I see many synagogues, I see there's a lot of clocks here, so I don't know which one is right. So. I have my watch, this watch over here, so... Okay, so I don't know what's going to be. Either they stone me or they don't stone me, but... we can continue for just a few more moments. Anyway, what is the relationship between Esav and Rav? And B'nai Rav. Unfortunately, somebody should not take it out of context, but we're not in such a better shape either. Esav has to be number one. Why does he deserve the brachas? He never had such a question. He has to be the chosen people of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He has to have the distinguished role in the history of mankind. And if somebody takes it away from him, alecherev ve'alechonis. That's called arrogance. Jewish people should be like Rachel Imenu. They have an ayin toiva. They don't worry for themselves. They're willing to give away a preeminent position in Jewish history to somebody else, totally self-sacrificial. However, the meat of arrogance has come to its ultimate expression by the Jewish people as well. Today, I was Baruch Hashem very close to the Stipler, and even if they don't record this, anybody wants to stay can stay. So he told me two stories. The Stipler did not have a sense of humor. And he said over two stories that he held were not humorous either. One story, it was a very famous story. It says, once upon a time in Russia, there was a Tzav Gius, like we have today, conscription decree against the Jewish Bachrim in the yeshiva. So all of a sudden they ran away, they hid in the forest, and they saw somebody there with a long white beard, 90 years old, trembling. So they asked him, what do you have to worry about? There's a conscription decree against the yeshiva Bachrim. So he says, what? They don't need genitals? That became the Jewish, right, that part of the Jewish mentality today. The Stipler said over a story, which I was there, I heard it two times from him, And he said it was true. Rabbi Yoizel Nevardike, the one that was Miyaseit Nevardike Yeshivas. So Rabbi Yoizel Nevardike was a very kind person. And he used to buy a raffle ticket for a poor person that lived outside of Nevardike. He had 12 children. Years went by, nothing happened. One day on a Thursday afternoon, so he won the lottery. And Rabbi Yoizel Nevardike didn't know what to do because he didn't know where he left. It was a very cold, bitter, frosty day in Russia. For jokes, it's only allowed to go further. Good story. Right? Anyway, so he decided, he went, he pursued him, and it took him 6-7 hours to get there with Mesiras HaGuf. He slipped on the ice. He got to his house at 12 o'clock at night time. Knocked on the door. He got up from his sleep. This poor man, Yoizel Nevardike. Oh, wow. He woke up all of his children. He said, what an honor. The great Yoizel Nevardike came to see me 12 o'clock at night. And afterwards, he asked him, what is it all about? He said, I want to tell you, you're a millionaire. All of a sudden, he changed his whole countenance. He says, maybe you didn't hear good. You're a millionaire. He says, I heard good. He says, you should be happy. He says, I don't understand you. Well, you don't understand me? Why? He says, very, very passionate. He says, if somebody else would have woken me up 12 o'clock at night time, I would have no tainas on him. Why? He doesn't know I'm a millionaire. But you know I'm a millionaire! You wake up a millionaire at 12 o'clock at night time. So the stipler said these words, Sigidota sekunde, to fall into gayus takes a second, without any, like, a self-achievement. A second! V'yosid lovoi b'nei bonim shel Rochel, and as they say in Eretz Yisrael, our old prime minister, Yitzhak Shamir, said, once he promised, and he didn't fulfill his promise, so he said, I didn't promise to keep my promise. So I promise to keep my promise, and we're going to finish. Who is the Ayin Toivo in the Torah, so far as brotherhood is concerned, devotion? He's very, very simple. Ephraim u'Menashe. Yisimcho alim ke'efchaim u'bechol yisvarech Yisrael. Why Ephraim u'Menashe? Right? And there's no answer to the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh question. He himself doesn't answer it. Because Yaakov Avinu said that he's going to make Ephraim greater than Menashe. How is he going to make him greater than Menashe? Because he's going to put his right arm on Menashe and bless him. Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says something which everybody accepts. We're finished. I'm already walking away from here. Right? He said, Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, what kind of answer is that? Humiliating the oldest son, and also Yosef was humiliated. He pushed him away. You know what I mean? It was very, very strange. Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed, right? He said, if you put your right arm, Beresh Menashe, so he'll be the greater one. Because everybody believes that Yaakov Avinu's right arm, when he gives a bracha, is very powerful, it's very effective. So there's no answer to that. Nonetheless, the Chazal say that when they walked out, Ephraim, of course, had his mission in life, Menashe had his mission in life, and it did not bother Menashe Kihuze that he was preempted by his younger brother. Menashe v'Ephraim, they're the ones that are the greatest pircha on Esav v'Yankiv, and they can show that even the brachas go to a younger person, and we know that Menashe, according to Chazal, deserved the brachas. Nonetheless, he could tolerate being number two. There's plenty of him to do as well. B'chol Yivarech Yisrael, we should all be zoichet to have the element of togetherness, to appreciate togetherness, of mutual love, dedication, and devotion.